Welcome to Geek Culture Online. I'm your host, Patrick Bolin. That was a very bad start, but we're going to continue with this. Today, we're going to be doing another episode of Comic Age, and this is going to be an interesting one. We're going to kind of do a little bit of time travel. We're going to go back to the 1990s, and we're going to talk about a comic book that was published by Image. You know, Image is a comic company that does creator-owned material. So, you know, whenever you do something with them, you own it and you're able to do anything you want with it. We're going to focus on one artist and writer, Sam Keith. And everybody knows him from his works with Neil Gaiman's Sandman, but he's also done his own work, which was called The Max. Now, Max came out in the early 90s and became so popular so quickly that MTV came out and did an animated series of the comic book. They emulated his art style, and it was amazing. You're able to see a trailer for that out on YouTube right now, and I stumbled across it when I owned my own comic book shop. Doc's Hobbies and Collectibles, and it was completely, utterly amazing. Sam Keith went on to do multiple covers, such as Marvel's Greatest Comic Stories. He did covers for Batman and all this stuff. Darker Image was an introduction to the Max character, and he did one single issue of Batman, which everybody went completely nuts over. He also did in 2010, he did a graphic novel, which was called Arkham Asylum Madness. He illustrated the hardcover to that, and that's graphic novel spent 2 weeks on the New York's bestseller list. Now, he later went on to direct a movie. He kind of left comic books for a while, and when he came back into it, he won awards and everything else for a whole bunch of different stuff. He won an Inkpot Award at the San Diego Comic-Con back in 2013. That's kind of like the highest award you can.
Like an Oscar.
Yeah, it's very much like an Oscar for the industry itself. So he is a mover and shaker. Now, IDW came along and back in 2013 and says, hey, we want to reprint the Max. So they started doing that. They recolored it. So it's not the original colorist, but under the direction of Sam Keith. And they not only did they reprint all 35 issues, they did five trade paperbacks, which reprinted all 35 stories and grouped together with other sketches and things like that. And what was amazing is that starting in September, DC, Image, and IDW got together and says, hey, why don't we do a crossover, which people have been chomping at the bit for a long time for. So Max and the Batman got together.
Right, which I took a look at.
So
I'm as listeners know, Batman's my favorite superhero, and I guess everybody has their own favorite Batman. And I'm looking at the cover now,
yes,
of issue one of Batman the Max, Arkham Dreams by Sam Keith, and
This is Larry, everybody. I have two wonderful guests here, Larry and Ethan's back.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
So what I want to say is, everybody loves the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, which is Christian Bale, and a lot of people like to poo-poo the Ben Affleck Batman. Now, I really like the Ben Affleck Batman. I know Ethan and I have talked about this.
Actually, I think Ben Affleck is my favorite.
We should talk about who's the best Batman, because technically there's been seven Batmans.
And we can discuss it, but I'm saying on the cover,
yes,
obviously it's a departure from the typical Batman
Yeah.
look, let's say, or his costume also. He's a little more scruffy in this one, and I don't mind that. I actually kind of like it because that's kind of like the, I think, more of a Ben Affleck Batman than anything else.
Right. Well, let's first of all, this is the first exposure either of you've had with
that's
the
correct.
Max, right?
Absolutely.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That is
now,
my first exposure to the Max.
Yes. So let's get your impression on the crossover. Some of you, have delved into the history of the character and stuff like this, but let's just talk about what's out right now. That's going to be this is December, people, for the people that are picking this up later on. So they're already on the third issue. It's going to be a 6-issue miniseries. And so going over this, what was everybody's first impression of the first issue? You know, it's just because it's pretty trippy. Don't forget,
it's
the Max
trippy.
Came from the 1990s. So going from that realm of stuff and his touching onto the Neil Gaiman Sandman character and stuff. So first of all, the cover, did that grab you? Did that chase you away? Because you were saying that it looks very much like the Ben Affleck cover, Batman.
Not necessarily Ben Affleck, but it's a gritty kind of rough looking
right.
picture.
Like, it's like a more weathered Batman.
Weathered Batman.
Experienced mm. Batman. You know
yes.
what I mean? Not to say that he didn't have a lot of experiences, but not aged.
It's just not real polished. Not the
right, which is okay. Which is fine.
It's kind of like instead of like a James Bond always comes out with his tuxedo clean no matter
right.
what happens. This
For
one's scruffy parts. Because he gets dirty.
Right.
Right, right. And that's okay. You know, you see that to some degree in some of the movies as well. But yeah, I mean, so I read, several of these Max comics. So
right.
The Max character is out there in general.
Very much out there.
And so this actually helps because this explains the whole Australia.
The Outback.
The Outback. Which is... It's again, Inception.
It's like an eternal Inception.
Well, it's like Inception. It's a little bit like The Cell, if everybody remembers the
yes.
movie The Cell with Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
Which also had Vince Vaughn in there.
Not Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, Jennifer Lopez. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Wrong Jennifer.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I'm sorry. I saw Jennifer Lopez this morning on the DVR, so I'm a little infatuated. Never mind. Anyway. So it's a 60s vibe, Ethan. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you mentioned, it's from the 90s, but. You know, I could see something like this being from the 60s where, mm-hmm. things were very trippy and people might have been using chemical...
Well, he's our age. So
stimulants to change their perceptions of things.
Yes.
Partaking in a few things. Some puffs
but,
or things.
You know, I definitely, when you mentioned that how Sam Keith had worked on Sandman, I can see the connection because, Sandman is kind of like, going into your nightmares and
yes.
that sort of thing. And this whole thing of... What I took from it is that in the Outback, he's kind of in there in somebody's mind.
Yes.
Whose mind it is, we don't really know. But
because everybody has their own Outback.
Outback, yeah.
Yeah, so so those realms kind of start overlapping. You're
yes.
able to travel from one to one, so you're not quite sure whose Outback you're
right.
in.
So a little bit like Inception, a taste of Inception, right?
Right.
But
so you don't know whose mind you're in.
Right.
At
and
any
I
point
think that's
in time.
On purpose, right? It's keep so you so right. Batman is like I remember when he's confused at first what Outback he's in. And he's like there's like the little thought bubble saying,
right.
"Is this mine? Well, this can't be mine.
Right.
But is this the Max's? So there's some dispute at least initially.
But and then also so in the quote unquote real world,
yes,
right.
They find Max in with like some homeless people,
yes,
and the police are rousting them, and they because of some of the I think it's because of some of the things that Max says and
right.
does, they wind up taking him to Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
So that's kind of tied
now,
in with this.
Now,
too.
For the people that are listeners that haven't read any of the Maxes and stuff, he is a homeless person in the original comic books. He has a social worker that is working with him to try to get him back on track because
right.
In the original comic book, the costume is almost sentient.
Okay.
And so he's
the Max
always,
costume.
The Max costume.
In a way it is. Right. Yeah. So
yes.
at least that I got that impression from the Max
yeah.
comics.
And
right.
he keeps drifting in and out of reality in his mind, and he can't convince people that these other realms exist. And so his his social worker, his whose name is Julie.
Julie, or also the
Julie queen, Winters.
Julie Winters, the Queen of the Desert, or whatever. What's her name?
Queen of the Jungle.
Queen of Leopards.
Yes.
Queen of the Jungle.
Queen of the Leopards.
Okay. Yeah, I think, and then the new one he refers to as. Does he refer to her as Queen of the Jungle?
Well, Queen of the Outback.
Queen of the Outback.
Yeah, because strangely enough, when he first sees her in this crossover, she looks different. Mm-hmm. She looks very, very much different, sure. Which threw me when I first read this. I thought, well, where's the old Julie?
Right, the Julie is, she's a blonde woman, curvy.
Yeah, very, very curvy.
Right. I mean, and again, I was like, even took some notes and like, is Julie, you know, I mean, she's a social worker. And
yes.
She, and it's talked in the Max comics that she takes in these people off the street to try to help them.
Right.
She has her own personal problems. She's massively her personal problems. So she's trying to help these, but
yeah.
In a way. But yeah, Max is. But are they real? I guess the question: Are they just social worker patient? Are they boyfriend girlfriend? Are they friends?
No.
Are
well,
they?
No. He feels like he's got to protect her because
says that several times.
Yeah, because when he falls into his delusional state, which she thinks is delusional state, he goes back to his outback. She is a queen there, and he's got to protect her. He becomes
right.
a protector
and
of that.
And he says that in the crossover issue as well, right?
Yeah.
He says in several issues, right?
Yes. So, therefore, Batman. There's a shift, you know, because I think Batman's grounding him here because, you know, you see that how, like, with the air whales, and all of a sudden, they're going from the outback, all of a sudden, bam, they're back to Gotham and they're on a dirigible. So it's just this, they're going in and out of reality. And I think it's because Batman, you know, he's so grounded himself, it's very hard for him to be messed with.
Is it the medication that the doctor's giving?
Or messing with his? I think that's actually Dr. Nunn. Mr. Nunn. That's a facade. The doctor that's in an Arkham Asylum is really him. I think he's trying to, because his past adventures was that he was trying to merge both realities.
Okay.
So I think he's trying to do this again.
And then he was he took the Max, and then later he takes Penguin and hooks them up to these
Red Penguin, right? Penguin as well. Right.
Trying to merge all the outbacks into one reality.
And then when he hooked up the Penguin, then Batman and Max are back in the outback, and then this like puff fish
puff
or whatever.
Fish. Puff big puff fish.
Which has,
gigantic.
Winds up having
his face,
having Penguin's face on it. So
yeah,
it's right.
Very
is,
trippy.
Yeah, it's very, very trippy. So now that you've read some of this stuff, what did you think? You got the first impression of the cover, which was done by Stan Keith. What did you think of the artwork?
Artwork's very interesting.
It's very fluid.
Very, yeah.
Right,
very,
right. Well, again, I think that lends itself to the whole: are we in reality, or are we in a dream state?
Well, at some points in the story where it jumps back, it takes you a second. You're looking at the panel. Wait a minute, are they still
where
in the outback? Or are they?
Right.
Don't really know where they are.
I think it's done purposely. So
right. Absolutely.
You're kept guessing. Yeah. Where are they?
Yes. And where am I? Where
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's very hard for you to get some footing.
Right. It's like catching Jell-O. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You can catch it. But you have
nailing Jell-O to a tree.
Right, right. It's very, and it's slippery, and it's sliding, and it's right.
Now that you've read this, because everybody's so used to reading a Batman story, which is ground and reality, and he could only, you know, he's only do so much because he doesn't have real superpowers, and he's got all these magnificent toys, as the Joker calls it, and all of a sudden now we're to this very, very trippy, fluid comic book that's bouncing around in realities. Did you get into it, or is this like, oh, this is too weird for me?
No, I mean, I love it. Like I said, Inception is my number two movie of all time, and Star Wars is three. So I love the dream within the dream and the dream state type stuff.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a departure for Batman, because, of course, you know, Dark Knight, the comics, you know, there's a lot of action, you know, there's the Batmobile, there's not, it's Batman, there's no tools, there's at least, what I saw, there's nothing.
Well, except for the one Batarang that he uses.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
But I mean, we're talking minimalist usage of his, you know,
he's using his
billionaire
tools.
Right, so this is a very different type of Batman superhero, if you want to use it. I mean, there's no, you know, car, there's no smoke bombs, there's...
No toys, no gadgets, or anything.
Minimal.
But see, also the... that's one of the things too about the character of Batman, is that although he has all those toys, really at the end of the day, what he is he's the world's greatest detective. It's,
right.
He's using his mind
over everything.
Else.
He's using technology. He's using, like, computers. Yeah,
using the technology, but that's almost secondary to his mind.
Yeah, because he doesn't trust anything. Because there's he only depends on himself.
Right.
And so because of that, you've read the first two issues. Is this something that you would like to see to the end? Or, do you want to see how this ends?
Well, of course.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how it plays out,
yeah.
I think this is where, as we know, the backstory of Batman is, the parents get murdered, and he witnesses the murder, and, all that. There's a lot of undercurrents of, there's a lot of unsettled items. I mean, many superheroes have that, but really Batman has a lot of unsettled items. That he's
he mentions that he's like, is this my outback because it's so dark and dreary?
Right.
And then he's like,
and
I
remember,
don't think
he's,
so.
He's thinking, and then Max can hear him saying that, which is like, sorry, he kind of backed off there. So again, everything in this, it's almost like you're in an earthquake that doesn't stop.
Right.
Which I've really never been in an earthquake, so
they're not fun.
No. Anyway, so point is.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that the ground is always shifting, or at least at this point you should expect it to shift, because that's how I feel the comic book has been, this Max versus Batman has been written. And that's not a bad thing. It just takes you out of the typical, especially for me, Batman element. You got the car, got the lady, mm-hmm. You got Commissioner Gordon. And
but do you think his groundedness is going to be the cornerstone of how this is going to be settled? Because if this outback breaks through, the reality collapses. It's just they're all doomed. So therefore, he's got to figure out some way of keeping everything separate. Mm-hmm. And he's all the Penguin's down and out,
right?
And the Joker was connected to there, and now he's taking advantage of it because he's always been a little nuts.
Well, and the interesting thing too, if you notice, when they introduce Joker in the, I think it's in the second issue, mm-hmm. He's already familiar with the Outback
because of Dr. Nunn.
Because he's already been there, and he mentions what is it, the crab?
The crab creatures.
The crab something.
Yes.
It's like a combo.
And he makes reference to that and to the air whales, and so he's kind of letting them know that he's been there and he knows what it is.
So. Yeah, so therefore, this is nothing new to him, so he knows how to manipulate this already because he's done it. He's been there and done it, and so he's got the advantage.
Okay, right. So is this just go back to they're all just sitting on tables at Arkham Asylum, and
oh, you think this is all in their heads?
Well, if the Joker already, he already knows about this stuff and he's playing with it. I mean, the Joker. This is why Joker's still my favorite villain. I mean, he is just out there. And he knows enough to be dangerous to play with it, mm-hmm. and to use it to his advantage. Does he totally know everything about these? The weapons he uses or the mm-hmm. theories. No, he's an agent of chaos. He always has been.
Yeah. So here's the scene when they wheel Joker in. He's talking to the doctor and he says, "You're actually doing me a favor. You're not forcing me anywhere I haven't already explored. Whales swimming through the air. A giant slug. Hooli anyone? Crabbit got your tongue." So that's it. Mm-hmm. Crabbit. It's a crab,
right,
and a rabbit.
Right.
Yeah.
He says, "Crabbit got your tongue, doctor." So he's kind of letting the doctor know, hey, I've already
been
to the Outback.
You're
not going to scare me.
Right. This is
old hat.
You should be scared.
Right. And whereas maybe going there got Penguin all twisted up in the head, mm-hmm. it's not going to do that to the Joker. He's already insane anyway.
Yeah. He's way past twisted in the head.
Yeah, so he has an advantage over Batman and the Max, because mm-hmm. the Max is only – well, he knows that there's other outbacks out there, but he has an experience, nor can he manipulate it like he wants to.
Mm-hmm. Right. It almost, my impression was, because there's several in just the Max comics, that it's almost like when he's maybe physically exhausted or he's having like a bad mental health day,
mm-hmm.
the Max goes to his outback, or at least what he perceives to be his outback. That's like his refuge in a way. Now there's things that
he recharges.
Right, and so then there's several times where he kind of like wakes up again. Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's like, I'm in a dream, or what was that? And he's like talking to Julia and stuff or other people. But yeah, I think that's like his escape, you know. And that, so again, are we just in some
in his head, or are we in? You know,
I don't know. I don't know whose dream it is. Like Inception, right? I haven't figured it out yet.
Now they've brought back all these other characters from the old book and everything, and then we get to really see the real Julia at the end.
Right. At the end of the second issue.
Yeah. Okay. So that is going to be the third issue is now out, and okay. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with her, because like he mentioned, she disappeared. He couldn't find her.
Correct. Correct. That's talked about. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the very last page, last panel. Yeah. Is him finding Julia.
Yeah. Ta-da! And it's just like, so now what's going to, you know, how is she playing into all this? Because right. she's he only sees her. He first found her in the outback. Then correct. He discovered the real version of her. So it just, so is there,
right,
so
right,
for
right.
every person in reality, is there an alternate version in the outback? Or is it something you only experience? Like Max experienced Julie, so therefore the queen, or did the queen begat Julie?
Let me ask you a question, everybody here.
Yeah.
So the Max Batman combo mm-hmm. story, how much later does it take place from just the Max comic book series?
He mentions that in the first issue. He says, I've been searching for Julie for months, years, okay. decades.
Okay.
He's not quite sure what happened.
This is probably set now, and so it's going back to the 90s that he's been searching for.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
This image of Julie, at least in my opinion, she looks a little more mature. I mean, she's not wearing it, but I mean, her face, I mean, she's drawn a little differently, in my mm-hmm. opinion, from the Max comics. So, mm-hmm. and that's okay, I'm just saying, that's why I'm asking the question, because that's not the Julie from the Max comics, no. at least.
But it's... It is, but years later, so
right, yeah. and that's why I'm bringing it up because I'm just curious.
So it's interesting. I would like, you know, it's just so, okay, now... If they're going to bring everybody from that universe back, which is pretty totally awesome. Now, are they going to bring anybody else in, like Robin or Batgirl or Commissioner Gordon?
I love Robin. You
know? Well, they've already got Joker in here and mm-hmm. Penguin mm-hmm. and Arkham Asylum. So, right. I mean, I'm assuming it's the entire DC Batman universe. Or at least the Batman universe. Bat-Gotham universe, yeah. Yeah.
Right, so... Right, I mean, if my theory, and I'll run with this, my theory that they're just all in Arkham Asylum, mm-hmm. somebody's gonna break them out, at least break out Batman. That should be Robin, right? That should be Batman.
So they're all on the table. They're all under.
That's my theory.
Okay,
for now. Yeah.
Okay. Now, one thing I noticed, you were asking about how Batman is drawn. I noticed his the logo on his chest looks a little different too. It's very narrow.
Yes.
Not as.
So would you say that's indicative to his thinking too? He's narrow-minded, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah, because you know, he's very, very stringent.
Hadn't thought about that, but yeah.
Well, I mean, like Ethan said, I mean, Batman is, you know, he's the world's greatest detective. So mm-hmm. of course he.
Mentally disciplined.
Yes, very much so. You have to be methodical.
You got somebody that's not mentally disciplined, the Joker and the Max, versus Batman, who's grounded in reality and very disciplined. So therefore, he's the only thing that's holding this whole thing together. Then,
possibly.
Yeah, I mean,
I think we'll find out more in the future issues.
Yes. So everybody, I would like for everybody to comment on this. If you haven't had a chance, this is available in digital form. Out there, I was poking around and I stumbled across it on Google Books and magazines. There's an app out there for that, and but otherwise you can get it on, like on Comicopia, probably on Comixology, and all these other ones out there. So if you can't get a physical copy, I had a hard time getting the first two issues because in the comic shops in my area had sold out. It's very, very popular. So I'd like for you to write in and tell us what you think. You could reach us at Facebook at Geek Culture Online, no dot, at Instagram at Geek Culture online, no dot, at Twitter, at
Your Geek Culture.
You could reach me directly at patrick@geekculture.online. You can reach Larry at larry@geekculture.online. You can reach Ethan at Ethan@geekcultureonline. Write us, comment us. Please go to...
Send us your photos of those issues that you get of Max. We like to, you know, and we can, we like to see them.
Because there's different cover variants.
Yes, right, there's variant covers on. There's going to be one for variants on all six covers.
All the issues, yeah.
Yeah, so that some of them are really awesome. Some of them I didn't even know about until I researched it online because of the popularity of this stuff. Also, we'd like to see some of your artwork. If you want to do some of your own artwork on Max and Batman, you can send it in to us, and we'll post it on geekculture.online.
Yes.
And I would like to thank everybody here. I'm Patrick.
I'm Ethan.
I'm Larry.
Have a good one.